You're listening to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the DFS Karma Podcast Network. Now here's your host with the most, Jack Caparuccio.
And welcome back to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the Karma Media Network. I'm your host, Jack Caparuccio, aka Clinic Cap on Twitter. It's time to throw those ADPs and mock drafts right out the window, because today is the Home League Special. Let's get right into it. One league to rule them all, one league to find them, one league to bring them all, and in the draft room, bind them. In the land of fantasy football where ADPs go to die, this is the Home League. And you might be wondering what a Home League is. You might call it something differently, but to me, the Home League is that league that I first started in. My Home League is one that I've been doing for 10 plus years now. Me and my friends started in 8th grade, and it's been pretty much the same group of guys ever since then. And every year, you know, it gets better and better. Guys do more research. But you still have some egregious things happen in your home league. Every single year when I go into my home league, I have my mock drafts. I have my expert consensus rankings. I have my ADPs. I have all this stuff that I've been working on for, you know, 4, 5, 6 months researching. And I go in with this great plan. And then by the second round, that entire plan is blown up because somebody takes somebody that should probably go undrafted because they're a homer of that team, or they didn't know that that team drafted some other person to compete with them directly. And I have a sense that I'm not alone in this. I know a lot of you out there do a lot of research. You put in a lot of time because you want to win money and you want those bragging rights over your friends. But you go in and it seems like the guy who basically gets auto-drafted wins every year. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world, and you can't crack it. No matter how much research you do, it seems like you just can't break this league. So today, I'm going to go over the home league because I know that it's the most important draft for you of the year. At least I know it is for me. For me, it's like Christmas morning. The night before, I can't sleep. I'm wondering what I'm going to find under the draft board, under my Christmas tree. Maybe it's a lump of coal. Maybe it's some socks. Or maybe it's a shiny new toy if I get a draft day steal. So I screened some people on Twitter because I wanted to see, what are people's top three priorities when you're researching your home league draft? Because I know certain things I do every year. I look up ADPs. I try to, you know, key in on the tendencies of the guys in my leagues. I like to know what teams they know. But, you know, that's just my singular point of view on it. And I wanted to get the consensus kind of and see, you know, what other experts or casual fantasy players do to prepare for this. Because, you know, everybody's different. They could have a different edge I don't know about yet. So from that poll, I've gotten a general consensus of priorities that I'm going to go through and explain a little bit. I'm going to try to keep this episode short because it is just on the one topic, but I think it's important. So the first response I got was somebody said they look at ADPs, injury / availability status, and position battles in training camp and preseason. So as I touched on, the ADPs, it's great to look at to get a ballpark sense. And I think ADPs are better for something like best ball, industry drafts with other analysts, things like that. Maybe like in a Scott Fish Bowl when you're up against other analysts, but mixed with casual fans, that would probably be great for that. But with the home league, you literally can't predict it. A guy that's a consensus second round pick could go to the sixth, or a guy that's a consensus seventh round pick could be in the first round. You have no idea what's going to happen. So while I do think there's value in looking at ADPs, I would caution you against relying too much on it, because a lot of times it won't go according to plan. For injury and availability status, I do think that's valuable. I've had it happen multiple seasons in a row where we draft usually late August, sometimes mid-August. So I just had my draft yesterday, actually. And in the middle of the draft, it's happened where somebody gets hurt. Or in one case, somebody took Andrew Luck in the first round that year, and then he retired in the middle of the draft. And they were stuck with him as their first round pick. There's nothing you can do at that point, but it's always, you know, extremely important to monitor that, to have injury trackers available, to, you know, note the camp battles, things like that, because, you know, something could happen in the middle of your draft that just ruins it all. I think it was a year or 2 years ago that Antonio Brown had the iced foot injury, or, you know, situation if you want to call it, in the middle of the draft after somebody took him in the first round when he was on the Raiders, and then boom, their whole draft was blown up and they were stuck with Antonio Brown and he didn't play. So that stuff's really important to monitor, but just, you know, be aware that sometimes stuff can happen. You can just get unlucky in the middle of your draft. Another person responded that they look at the ECR, which is expert consensus ranking on Fantasy Pros, which is a aggregate of all the fantasy analysts who participate in it and what their rankings are. So the ECR to plan their draft position, which whatever pick they have in the draft, do a mock draft, and then identify some mid-round targets. So as I said, with the mock draft, that's a lot like ADP, where it's great. You can mock draft. As a fantasy footballer's caller, you can make a skeleton key where you can project where certain guys are going to go in your league and what keepers they're going to have. So I would recommend doing that. It's a good exercise to do in general. But again, don't treat it as gospel. Don't expect I'm going to get this exact team, maybe except for one guy. Odds are you might not get half of that team. Or you'll get one guy that you really want. Everyone else gets sniped from you. It just doesn't always work out that way. And the mock drafts are really good to see where values lie. But unless you're mock drafting against your entire league, which I doubt you are, it might not be the most helpful thing in the world, or at least not as helpful as you think it is. But it's a good way to gauge value of players. The mid-round targets is important as well. Everyone's mid-round targets are different. I know in my home league, once we get into those mid-rounds, the darts kind of start flying because people start taking the guys that they like. They think he's going to have a big breakout year, whatever it might be. But be careful too, because if you fall too much into that, the mid-rounds are ripe with bust, especially at tight end position. Those mid-round tight ends more often than not will bust. You can get into the RB dead zone where there are more busts there. So just be really careful when you get into those mid-rounds. I would suggest you go with wide receivers in the mid-rounds if you're going to prioritize any position, because those guys tend to have a better return on value or on investment. And the most important thing that somebody responded with was know your league mates, know their favorite teams and players, and know how they drafted and who they drafted last year. This is the most important takeaway from this entire episode, because it circumvents every other thing I've shared. You can do all the mock drafts, all the ADPs, all the ECRs, all the mid-round targets, all that stuff. But if you know that, let's say I'm a Lions fan, you know there's a Lions fan drafting in front of you, but you really want DeAndre Swift. That guy might take DeAndre Swift in the first round, and you'll never get a chance to get him in the second, third round. Won't happen. But you have to know that going into it to expect it. Because if you're sitting there drafting other guys, you're saying, yeah, Swift's definitely going to be there for me in the third round, and he gets taken, you know, high second, late first round, something like that happens, you're panicked. You're tilting. And that's the last thing you want in your home league draft, is to be tilting right there live on the spot, because usually that's going to lead you to some bad decisions. So know your league mates. That's the biggest part. Without that, if you don't know them, if you don't know what they tend to do, if one guy tends to do something silly and hoard all the QBs, or if he's a robust RB guy and he takes all the running backs early, or if he's an elite tight end guy and takes tight ends early, just know that going into it, so you can say, you know, okay, well, the elite tight end guys drafting at 10, you know, so Kelce or Waller is going to be gone, so I need to, if I want an elite tight end, I got to take him at this spot, so that you know that going in. Otherwise, it could completely ruin your draft plan. And I always advocate to make 1 to 2 what I call get your guy picks. And I think everyone should try to have fun with their home league, because that's really what this is all about. It's fantasy football. It's a game. You know, I want to win money and have bragging rights just as much as the next person. I want you to do that too. And that's why I'm doing this, to try to help you win money and get bragging rights. But at the end of the day, have fun with it. If you think one guy's going to break out, but he's not ranked that way, or his ADP doesn't indicate that, go get him. It's fine. Throw a flyer on him. But don't do too many of that. If you do too many picks like that where it's, you know, well, this is just my guy, there's no reasoning for it, no analyst has talked about it, but this is my guy. If you do that for like 8 guys, you're going to submarine your chances at a championship. You're going to dig yourself a deep hole that you are going to be hard-pressed to get out of. So have a couple of those. Have a couple fun picks just to make it interesting and, you know, kind of keep it entertaining for you. But don't do it too much, because it could really – it's a real slippery slope. And the last thing that somebody shared, and I've talked about before, is you do not win your leagues in the draft. We reemphasize that. You can go in with the best plan ever, but you're not going to win the championship in your draft. It doesn't work that way. You can give yourself the best possible chance to win your league in the draft, you know, and you can submarine your chances just as well by having a bad draft. But you have to stay active on the waiver wire and maybe in trades throughout the season to truly win your league. There's always waiver wire gems that emerge, you know, weeks one, weeks two. Those are the early guys. And sometimes a midseason trade is just what you need for your roster to make that final push. Look at Lamar Jackson last year when he disappointed the first half of the league, and a lot of people went out and acquired him the second half. He had a great second half of the season, and a lot of those teams won championships. So you need to keep your eye out on those guys and see, you know, oh, who's somebody that I was really high on going into the season and they've disappointed and their fantasy manager is just sick of having them on their team. Do I have the roster space to, you know, facilitate that trade? If you do, go get them, stash them, and they're probably going to pay off at the end of the year. I especially like this strategy with rookies because rookies often take longer to be fantasy relevant. So after, you know, week six, week seven, week eight, if somebody's got like a Javonte Williams or a Travis Etienne and they haven't lived up to expectations yet, that's your time to go get them if you like them. So I'm going to share some of the results from my own home league yesterday because I think it's good being transparent to show what actually happens in leagues that I do. This one is the most important to me and the one I've been in the longest. So, you know, I do put a lot of time and effort in this to try to get it right. So I do some things that I normally wouldn't do in other drafts, might not be the consensus way to do it, but you know, they're chances I feel like I need to take because I'm not interested in finishing in third in this league. I want to win, and I want to win by a lot. And I have this feeling that a lot of you out there do too. So my first point I want to touch on is the fact that I took Najee Harris at fourth overall in my draft yesterday. Full PPR, 10 team. And let me put a caveat on it. It is a keeper league. So two keeper league, you get to keep two guys from the previous draft. So this will make a little bit more sense because Alvin Kamara was kept. Christian McCaffrey was kept. DeAndre Swift was kept. J.K. Dobbins was kept. And so on and so forth. There's more of them, of those, you know, top 15, top 20 type of running backs, which makes the pool thinner. When guys like Kamara and McCaffrey are already gone, you know, I'm more prone to take a guy like Najee Harris this high. I normally wouldn't, but my case for it is I'm coming around on Najee Harris as a top 8 running back for this season. And the main reason why is volume. We all know that volume is king in fantasy, but Najee Harris is one of the few guys in the league that I can look at and go, he's getting 300 touches. Almost guaranteed. Because he doesn't have any competition. We know what the Steelers like to do. They like to lean on one running back. We saw it with Le'Veon Bell. We've seen it with backs in the past with Mike Tomlin. That's what they want to do. And they wouldn't spend a first round pick on a guy like Najee Harris if they didn't have that intention for him. I know preseason is overhyped and you shouldn't, you know, bear that much weight on it. But look at the preseason so far. Najee Harris has gotten almost all of the snaps at running back. And the surprising part to a lot of people is he's getting checkdowns. He's getting that passing game work. He had, I think, a 45-yard passing or reception against the Lions a couple days ago. And he juked Jeff Okuda's out of his ankles from 10 yards away. So if Najee Harris is a good runner, okay, you know he's going to get the goal line opportunities. He's going to get the volume to do it. And then he gets the passing game work. That is the formula for an elite fantasy running back year one. In PPR leagues, you need your guys to catch passes. They're just, the passes are weighted that heavily for running backs. So I think it's not out of the realm of possibility or range of outcomes that Najee Harris has a Saquon Barkley-esque rookie season. Remember when Saquon Barkley came to the league, he was not only a great runner, but he caught a lot of passes from Eli Manning. He checked it down because Eli Manning was at the tail end of his career and it was easy. Guess who else is at the tail end of their career? Big Ben. And Big Ben has looked better than he did last year, but I certainly think it's possible that Najee Harris becomes the Le'Veon Bell 2.0 in that offense, where he gets the passing game work. And because of the guys that were already kept, like I mentioned, I was willing to take the chance on Harris at that spot. I think you should be considering Harris at the back end of the first round if you're in a non-keeper league. If he slides to you to the top of the second round, I'd be smashing that all day long because I really do think he's going to outperform his ADP. And this time next year, he's going to be a locked-in first-round pick, without a doubt. So something else I wanted to share from my home league is to identify the Keith of your league. And by Keith, this might be known in your league as the Taco, if you ever watched the TV show The League. And there's a guy like this in every single league, every single home league, every year. There's a guy that takes just these egregious picks. These guys that should not even be in consideration. The guys that just submarine his entire chance of winning a title. And Keith is a guy in my own home league, so if he's listening to this, he'll be happy about it. But I'm going to touch on some things that, you know, your Keith might do in your league. Your Keith might take Derrick Henry first overall in a full PPR format, as my Keith did yesterday. And I understand the safety of Derrick Henry. I get it. But the track record of guys coming off a 2,000-yard rushing season, not only is it a small sample size, but that sample size is not good. There's a huge drop-off year to year from guys coming off that. And I get it. Derrick Henry is as close to an alien as we're going to see on the football field. But that doesn't mean he's not immune to regression to the mean. If that offense regresses at all, or he gets less touches, or he gets less touchdowns, he's going to bust at first overall ADP like this guy just took him at. And with guys like Dalvin Cook going after him, while Dalvin Cook has his injury issues, he also catches passes, which is what, like I said, what you need in a full PPR format for to make that pay off. Derrick Henry at 101 could sink Keith's season, honestly, because you're drafting a guy at his absolute floor or his absolute ceiling. And I don't think, I'm never a supporter of doing that in your leagues, because drafting a guy at their ceiling isn't great. It's never, you know, you don't want to shoot for safety. Obviously, you don't want to take an absolute flyer in your first round pick, but I'm shooting for upside in that top five range. I want the guy that could break out and could just dominate every single week, which Derrick Henry can, and we've seen him do it, but he's not going to do it in the passing game. So if this was a standard league, I'd be totally fine with it. But because it's PPR and guys like Dalvin Cook and even Ezekiel Elliott came off the board after him, you know, I think he made a big mistake here. Another thing a Keith might do, while this Keith didn't do it, another Keith in our league did, is take James Robinson in the second round. This was the pick that just blew my mind. I FaceTimed into this draft, and they could just hear me screaming over the computer because James Robinson got taken in the second round. His ADP is from 6th to 8th at the high end. He could have waited for a long time and still gotten James Robinson. And the reason he took James Robinson so high is because he didn't know who Travis Etienne was. Somebody mentioned, well, what about Etienne? Right after Robinson got taken. And he said, who? Who's Travis Etienne? So this is the reality of your home leagues. They might not even know a guy got drafted. They don't know who else is there. So they might look at last year's rankings or finishes and say, oh, James Robinson is top five running back. Second round's a steal on him. Because they don't think he's got any competition. So this is where you can get a real advantage by doing this kind of research ahead of time, because if somebody takes James Robinson in the second round of your league, you're going to be at a massive advantage, because that's just going to push somebody really good down the board to you. And another thing that happened in my home league is Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell both got drafted. Granted, they were later round picks, but neither of them are on an NFL franchise. And they say, oh, well, when they get signed, it'll be great. And even if they get signed, it's not going to be great. Those are not going to be guys that you can trust on a weekly basis at the running back position. At this point in their career, they're backups, barring somebody getting injured in front of them. Le'Veon Bell could come into a role and, you know, see some third down work, do some pass blocking, catch some passes, but is that what you really want your running back position? Todd Gurley last year had high touchdown totals in the beginning of the year with the Falcons, but that's the only reason he was fantasy relevant. We all know what he looks like now, and he's not the same player. So even if he does sign somewhere, do you really want that on your fantasy team? Is that going to win you a week? Probably not. So just be aware that these are real things that can happen in your home leagues, because you informed fantasy players who have been doing this for a while, maybe listening to the show and listening to other shows and doing your own rankings, you're going to have advantage on these people, because they just make these egregious mistakes every single year. And the values will fall to you. For example, I got Marvin Jones in the 17th round, which is the last round of the draft, and I have him ranked as wide receiver 42 on the year. While wide receiver 42 isn't anything crazy, it's nothing I'm getting excited about, it's a huge value with the last pick of the draft. We've seen early chemistry between him and Trevor Lawrence, and he's had the highest target share of the three in the preseason. While I'm not expecting Marvin Jones to be a world beater, he's a great flex every year, and to get him in the last round, it's just egregious. I mean, you can't beat those values, but it's because people do stuff like this, like take Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley, guys who aren't even signed, that push real players down the board to you that you can actually use to win games. And I also got Dak Prescott in the 9th round, and I had him ranked as my QB3 on the year. I never expected to come out of that draft with Dak Prescott, because I thought, he's ranked as my quarterback 3. There's no way, I'm not an early round QB guy, and Dak's going to go early, not going to have a shot. And then Dak kept falling and falling and falling, and then Ryan Tannehill got taken the round before Dak, and I thought, well, I'd rather pay up a round early from the 10th round than wait and lose him, because that's a huge value. You can't beat that out, and the reason that he fell is because people were so concerned about the injuries. So if you really want guys to fall, send some things in your league chat and say, oh, this guy's injured, I don't know if he's going to play. Start peppering that stuff in there, and sometimes it works. Sometimes people buy those narratives or get scared off. It happens every single year. I remember a few years ago, one of my league mates got Ezekiel Elliott in the 3rd round because of the threats of the holdout. And everyone thought, Zeke's going to hold out. I don't want anything to do with him. He's not even going to be on my roster this year. And he got him in the 3rd round. He won the league that year. So it just goes to show that, you know, you need to be able to see what information is worth looking into and what's not, and just differentiate, you know, what your league mates are going to buy. Honestly, it's all about them seeing which narratives they're going to buy. So if you take anything away from this show, let it be one thing. Know your league mates. This is going to be the largest indicator of what players go when and what potential values will fall into your lap. And above all else, always have fun. After all, this is a game we all play for fun, so let's always keep that in mind at the draft and enjoy your home league drafts. That's it for today's show. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe anywhere podcasts can be found, and be sure to leave a quick review if you'd be so kind. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the No Cap Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review anywhere podcasts can be found.